Morning. So we were in the middle of a set of a few psukim last week, but we are going to actually go to, as we said, it was a unit, but today is really its own topic because we're going to really concentrate on the last of those few psukim. And so what we're going to do is, if you look at your sheet, I don't know, what's the first sheet on your booklet? What's this, number one? Okay, yeah, it has the psukim again. I just want to read you the last two psukim. Let me just see how it works over here. Must be here. Okay, sorry, just find it here. Yeah, okay. So if we look, so this is Perek Dalid in Chumash Devarim, and I just want to read again Pasuk Gimel and Dalid because Gimel leads into Dalid. So we were talking, okay, so we mentioned how we shouldn't, last week we concentrated a lot on how when you do a mitzvah, you have to do it exactly as it's prescribed, not adding, not subtracting, and we explained how sometimes when you add, then you end up subtracting, because even if you think it's so amazing to do more, isn't more of something good good? As we said, not necessarily. Like, I don't know if we remember, if we gave the example, but like with medication, it's not always good to do more, even though medication might help you. More can be toxic. So the same idea. With a mitzvah, you have to do it according to what Hashem says, the exact prescription. We do add sometimes as precautionary measures, but we are always careful to say that we are adding, that this is not the actual mitzvah. So we always have to differentiate between what's the extra precaution and what's the mitzvah. Now, then we go on and the pasuk tells us, Einechem, because this Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jewish people, he says, Einechem harayis eis asher asa Hashem. So your eyes have seen what Hashem did, Bibaal par. Remember, Baal par, remember we said that's where they did that terrible sin with the woman, the Midianite woman. So there were two sins, just to clarify. One was with the Midianite woman and one was the sin of the idol worship. And it was a terrible type of idol worship, as we mentioned last week. And interestingly, even though to us a lot of times the big thing is the sin with the woman, because that's what led to Zimri and then Pinchas killing Zimri, the truth is the main sin was the idol worship, meaning that's what the Midianites wanted. They sent out their girls because they thought their girls would entice the Jewish men, and once they entice them, they'll get them to serve idols. That was their plan. That was their idea. Because that's the worst of the sins. If somebody's not married, it's not so terrible if they have find a girl there. So they didn't think of. Anyways, interestingly, we know, fascinating thing, that one of the problems was that some of, as we mentioned last week, that idol worship was a disgusting one. Do you remember they had to go to the bathroom in front of it? So a lot of the Jewish men thought that they would embarrass the idol worship, and they would do it like they wouldn't be doing something wrong by serving that idol, because since that idol worship is such a shameful type of idol worship, they thought that by them doing it, they're actually bringing shame. But obviously that's not the case, because that's the way it serves. And if Hashem says not to do it, you don't do it. The other thing it actually says is that for some people, the logic was that if I'm just going to go with those girls, I'm not going to do anything bad, and I'm definitely only going to shame the idols. And here we see again the idea of not adding onto anything in the mitzvahs. You shouldn't add your own creativity, your own ideas, and think that you can outsmart, so to speak, Hashem. You can outsmart, because Hashem says, no, don't even get involved, as we know. Don't even start, like with an Aveira. Don't allow yourself to get schlepped in even a little bit, because you don't know if you'll be able to have that self-control to be able to direct everything the right way, as we know. So that's why, again, a very important connection between that. It's just like, actually interesting, we know we have a famous story in the Gemara. I don't think we mentioned last week, but there's a famous story, I don't remember who it was exactly, one of the great Tanoim who was, maybe Rabbi Chia, one of them, very brilliant, and used to love to learn. And as we know, in those years, how did they learn? They learned by candlelight. And there was a thing on Shabbos that a person shouldn't actually sit near the candle and learn, because what might happen is that you will, if the candle starts to flicker, you will start to touch the candle or want to light a new one, right? Because you'll be so engrossed in your learning. And he said, no, that'll never happen to me. Shabbos is such a, you know, I'll never do such a thing on Shabbos. And he's talking, got engrossed in his learning, and he started to touch the candle, and he chapped himself, and he realized you can't outsmart. If the Chachamim say, then they know what they're talking about. So this is the idea again of not adding. So that's what the Jewish people did here. Also, a lot of them got caught into the sin because they thought, I'll never get really involved. I'll never do such a terrible thing. But don't overtrust yourself in that way. Anyways, the pasuk continues and it tells us why. Ki kol ha'ish, Hashem says, remember what you did, right? Your eyes saw what happened during that sin, and what exactly happened was ki, and what was the result? Ki kol ha'ish, asher halach achare baal pa'ar, every man that followed baal pa'ar, hishmidai Hashem alikecha, Hashem, your God, destroyed him mikirbecha, from your midst. Which means that anybody who was involved in that sin actually died, as we know. And that flows on to the next pasuk. But you, v'atem hadveikim b'Hashem aleikeichem, but you who cling to Hashem your God, in other words, who don't serve idols, or who don't try to go after their heart, who don't try to outsmart, who don't try to do things that are a little bit more or less than what Hashem prescribes, how do we describe you? Chayim kulchem hayoyim. You are all alive today. So just simply what you could think is, as opposed to those people who were killed, right, who died, you are alive. So that's physical life. But is that what it's talking about? Obviously not. This pasuk is actually a very deep pasuk. Two words here are very deep. The word dveikin, cleave to Hashem, and the word chayim. That's what we have to know. What does chayim mean? Life, very good. So chayim is life. What does life mean? Well, that's the big question. How do you define life?
Life in this world and life in the next world, because chayim is plural.
Okay. So if that's the case, Riva, how do you define the life while it is still in this world? It has to be, as you're right, is what you're saying. It obviously has to be a meaningful life so that it's connected to the world to come, even while you're in this world. It's true, we can be alive technically, we can be breathing, we can even be thinking, we can even be coasting through life, but is that truly alive? So obviously on one level it is, but on a lot of levels it's not. I just want to clarify something. Obviously in Torah, every part of life is sacred, right? We're not out to judge or whatever, and if somebody's not well and they can't be productive, that doesn't mean their life is any less precious. That's not what we're saying here. But when we are still able to infuse our life with meaning, if we don't choose to do that, is that true life? No, that's not true life. Exactly right. And that's what we have to define. We'll see soon what that really means. What does meaning mean? So you say like to be able to do mitzvahs, right? So we have to understand what that truly, truly means. Because it's a very interesting thing. Because we, like you say, we can look around. There are many billions of people in the world. And they'll all say they're alive, right? They're alive. But what is really life? So this is a very big thing. So I just want to show you, if you look, first of all, let me just see, go to the next page, page number 2. I want to show you something. First, we'll do the Ramban, which was on the previous pasuk. It says, Atabo lahazir beprote ha-mitzvahs. Now, we are going into details about the details of the mitzvahs, and it starts with Avodah Zarah, because that's the biggest one of all. But let's see, let's go on to the next page, page number 3. Okay, because now we have to define what, firstly, Atem hadveikin. So the Orach Chaim on page 3 says like this. Tzorich ladas, we have to know, Loma amar ve'atem. Why does it say, and you? So we said, it's because it's connecting to the previous pasuk, right? Previously it said, those who sinned were died, and now you are alive. So he says, maybe, you can explain it, according to what our Chazal say in the Gemara Sanhedrin, it says, V'nayach motzachin. What is V'nayach motzachin? And Nayach found favor. And what do they explain there? It says, V'nayach, afilu Nayach, shenishtayer mehem, even Nayach, who was the remnant, who was left over, right? He wasn't killed. He didn't die in the flood. The whole world was wiped out, and Noach is left alive. So we think, wow, he must be very special. So the Gemara says, even Noach, who Taka was left alive, he says, Loi haya kedai, ela shematzachein. Truthfully, he wasn't really worthy of such a great miracle that he shouldn't drown. It's just that for some reason he found favor in Hashem's eyes, which means, we know that favor actually means when you find favor in somebody's eyes and they do something for you, it's not that you deserved it or earned it. For some reason, they take a liking to you. It's like when you have a child that you say is so cute, you know, that you can't say no, you know, that kind of thing. It's like that, where they just pull at your heartstrings. And that's what we're saying over here. Wasn't that Noach deserved it? He just found chayin, he just found favor. And that's why he says, that's the same thing over here, because the vi, k'moy kein niskavim b'maymer v'atem. What does it mean, and you, perush, v'gam atem hayisim ru'uyim lahashmid. Even all of you were deserving to be destroyed. But Ella Litzad, what was it that stood in your favor? Why were you not destroyed? Why are you alive? Because you were divukim. Now, what does divukim mean? Perush niskaraftem b'tshuva. You came close with tshuva. V'nidvaktem b'Hashem, and you cleaved to Hashem. So we find a fascinating thing, that in a certain way, all of the Jews were involved at that time. That's very interesting. There wasn't really innocent bystanders, if you want to say. Whether they be that they wanted to and they just didn't actually, whatever it was, they were all, or they doubted, they were all involved in some measure. But some people had the sense and they did tshuva and they felt like, oh my gosh, I do want to reconnect to Hashem. And because of that, they were spared. And as he says, that's why you who are standing here, are still alive today. So it's an interesting thing. And he says like this, V'hagam shepinchas hu shemana mehem hakilayin, right? Pinchas was the one that stopped the actual destruction. Im kol zeh muchrach she'asu tshuva, but it must be that they also did tshuva afterwards. Im leikein lo yayamayil Pinchas, because Pinchas on his own wouldn't have helped if they didn't do tshuva, because Hashem wouldn't have allowed some of them to live and some not. Obviously, even though Pinchas was the great one who stopped the plague, but all of them had to engage in some level of a feeling of tshuva. And that's what he's saying over here. That's what it had. That's what happened there. Okay, now I just want to see if you go down to the bottom where there's a bracket. Another thing, and this is what we're going to start to develop, this idea of hadveikim b'Hashem Elikeichem, cleaving to Hashem your God. We're going to have to understand it. That's what we're going to see today in depth. A beautiful idea, how this is brought. Just show you one thing here from the Aruch Chaim, and then we'll go further. Al derech Imrim Zal, ki ha'aisa mitzvah, when a person does a mitzvah, so this is the first way, as Rona said before, how do you cleave? By doing a mitzvah. We know that's the prescribed way of connecting to Hashem. What happens when a person does a mitzvah? So it says, shoyre shem havaya al ha'aver shabai oisa ha'mitzvah. Whatever limb you're using to do the mitzvah, so if you're giving tzedakah and you're using your hand, Hashem's Shechina is actually resting upon that limb. It's a very beautiful idea, because many times when we think of Hashem's Shechina, you know, you think when you daven or when you learn Torah, you know, you have the presence of Hashem. But if I'm baking something, if I'm giving somebody a ride, if I'm, I don't know, doing all these physical things that are, what does that have to do? That's very nice, a mitzvah. But we actually believe that Hashem's presence is there with you. That's why, you know, we say, like, if you go visit the sick, Hashem's presence is there. And that's why you actually remove a 60th of the illness, right? There's this concept, but it's not only in the general, but specifically with whichever limb you do, Hashem's Shechina rests. That's why it's very interesting that there's many... Oh, so I was going to say, very interesting that obviously we don't always see it exactly translated, but there's many stories of the Lubavitch Rebbe, people wrote in like they had... issues with the digestion. And the Rebbe would say that they should be more careful in their kashrus. There is a, obviously, it doesn't mean that if somebody keeps kosher, that they're going to be 100% healthy in that way. But it does bring Hashem's presence into that limb. This is clearly as it says in the Aruch Chaim. So what's beautiful for us is just to, I think the real translation for us is, when we go about our daily life, and we are so lucky because we have the privilege of being able to do a mitzvah in so many ways, like in so many simple ways, in so many things that we do a whole day. Even let's say, sounds stupid, even let's say a silly example, you go shopping, right? The fact that you're choosing what to buy, it's a mitzvah. You buy something for somebody else, it's a mitzvah. So while you're doing your regular mundane things, you have the ability to do a mitzvah. And that means that at that moment, you have the ability to connect to Hashem. And that means that at that moment, you have Hashem's presence more with you. So it's actually a beautiful thing. Yes, Anna?
I have a question.
Sure.
It's a quandary that's been looked up in thinking about for ages. Sometimes the morning is so rushed. So I will be doing my morning prayers as I'm doing other stuff.
Yes.
As I'm putting dishes in the dishwasher.
We know.
Or whatever.
Yes.
And I think, is that right, or should I be standing still and reading?
Oh, it's a big dilemma we all have. Listen, you want to know the real halacha, you have to ask a rabbi. The truth is, I think technically we are not supposed to do other things, but I'm going to be honest. If it means we're not going to daven, then we have to daven. There's no question about it. Daven is... Yeah, but it doesn't happen. I know. So you know the fame, there's a beautiful story of the Barditchever, of Levi Yitzchak of Barditchever, that he was walking. And I don't think the people could hear the question. The question was if not a question, but it's just a dilemma we all have, that sometimes we're busy and we end up, let's say, davening or saying brachas while we're doing other things. So there's a very beautiful, story that Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Barditchever was once walking, and he saw this man. He had his tefillin on, so he was obviously in the middle of davening, and he was fixing the wheel of his wagon. So it would be just like us putting away our dishes while we are davening. Now, most people would scream at the person, "What are you doing? Go into shul, open up your siddur, daven like a mensch." But what did he say? He turned to Hashem and he said, "Look at your wondrous people," as Reb Levi Yitzchak used to say. "Even while they're fixing their wagons, they're davening to you." So that was his way. So look, obviously in the ideal, we know what's right. But if we do it, it's not the end of the world. And not only that, but we have to daven. It's most important thing is for us to say the bracha. So if it
and
means...
we're not bringing Hashem
into it. It is. Into those things, into those plates. That's for sure. So it's a dilemma. It's a big dilemma. I think on a short Friday, we definitely struggle. But every morning also, but we try. Well, we do the best we can. But yeah, it has both ways to look at it. That's for sure. But even just generally speaking, we are really. It's just incredible how we can. Even I'm laughing. I'm thinking about it. Even let's say I always think Bondi Junction Westfield. That's the place you meet everybody. I don't know, whatever you go, whatever it is going to be. There's certain people go different days, and you know sometimes oh my God, I'm in a rush. But just to stop a moment, to be able to smile, to say hello to somebody, it's incredible, the connections. And to let another person feel that it's such a beautiful thing, because I think we feel more secure. If you go to Bondi Junction Westfield, you might think there's a massive population of Jews here, even though there isn't. But you happen to see everybody. And it's actually a beautiful feeling. So in everything we do, we connect. And that's a very magnificent thing. And that's what the Aruch Haim says. And that's what this pasuk is also about, that va'atem hadveikim, like we live with this cleaving, this constant connection to Hashem. But I just want to show you how he says something interesting on the pasuk. As we say, the name of Havaya actually, and Havaya, we know that's the higher level of God. That's the, so to speak, the revealed parts of God, the chesed. And he says, with a positive commandment, that's hinted in the name Havaya, and the negative commandments are hinted b'shem Elekim. And that's why he says, v'atem hadveikim, when we cleave to Hashem through doing mitzvahs asei and loitasei, that's when we have Hashem Elekechem, we have both names of Hashem. So obviously we're all trying, we all try to do both. We try to do the mitzvahs and to stay away from the things we shouldn't do, and we are fortunate that we have this constant opportunity to cleave to Hashem. But we have to understand a little bit more about that. But I wanted to show you one more thing in the Aruch Haim. On the bottom it says, V'hakavano bazeh, shezulazeh lo yikra chayim. Now he goes the other way. Without this, you're actually not called alive. Now again, sanctity of life. We're not discussing when things are out of our control. We're talking about when we are fortunate enough to be basically healthy. Obviously everybody has different things wrong. But when we're fortunate enough to be basically healthy and able to function, when Hashem gives us, it's a gift, right? When we wake up in the morning and we can walk and we can talk and we can be there, whatever it is that we can do, and whatever faculties we have, actually, whatever faculties Hashem has given us, we have them. So if at that time, he says, we don't choose to infuse them with mitzvahs, then we're not called alive, he says. Hagam sheyisnoya v'yoychal. Even though he's moving and he's eating. In other words, even though you're doing your basic functioning, right? You're going about your life and other people would look at you and say, wow, they're really alive. No, he says. Shaharishoyim b'chayeyim kruyim meisim. In a very strong way. The wicked ones during their life are called dead because they are not truly alive. Because life is connection to Hashem. Letzad shem bekayram, because their source, makar hamisa, is the source of death. V'zeh hu hachidush shemechadesh lehem Moshe. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, and he says this is like a chidush. It's something new that he's trying to explain to them. Shemaydiyam shehem chayim mimokar achayim, that they are alive from the source of life. V'shiyir kavanas divrei Moshe hu bebeis drachim. What does it mean? It's in two perspectives. Aleph, hu al zeh haderech mitzad she'atem dveikim b'Hashem aleikeichem chayim atem, because you cleave to Hashem, you are alive. And the second thing, tam shezachistem, the reason that you merit lidavik b'Hashem aleikeichem, that you actually merit to cleave to Hashem, lefi she'atem chayim, because you are alive. Perush tzadikim shenishmartem mimat'amei harasha shehim b'chinas hamavis. In other words, because you have separated yourself and you have associated yourself with good, therefore you merit to be alive, and therefore you merit to cleave to Hashem. So it goes both ways, and this is actually an incredible schus that we have. As we say, just the fact that we can wake up and say Maida'ani is already the biggest gift. So this is what he's saying to us here, V'atem hadveikim v'Hashem alikeichem. Okay, I want to show you something. Go to page number 5. I know it's a bit of a little bit looks unorganized, and I'll show you something very interesting. Because this pasuk, V'atem hadveikim b'Hashem aleikeichem, chayim kulchem hayayim, this pasuk we just read is a very famous pasuk. It is this in our order of our psukim. In Chumash Devarim that we are in, there's actually 3 other psukim that also have this concept of dveikim, cleaving to Hashem. In Parshas Ekev, there's 2, and then in Parshas Re, I'll just show you. The first one, if you see on the top of the page, that's our pasuk that we just read. But you who cling to Hashem, your God, you are all alive today. The next one is pasuk Chaf, it says there. That's in chapter 10 in Chumash Devarim. It says, Es Hashem Elikecha Tira, Hashem, your God, you shall fear. Oisoi Tavoid, Him you shall serve. And then it says, Ubay Sidbak, and to him you shall cleave. Again, you see that word, davek. Ubishmai tishava, and in his name you shall swear. Okay, that's another pasuk that it says the same idea, to cleave to Hashem, right? It's a little bit more detailed over here, because here it says you should fear him. And also, do you see the difference in our pasuk? It says, you who cling to Hashem, right? And over there it says, you shall cleave. You see the difference? Here it's a statement, like a fact. You are cleaving. There it's a command. Do you see? So it's already a difference. And let me just tell you, this our pasuk is more, if you want to say, an introductory pasuk. It's more like a heading. It's like saying that you are all cleaving to Hashem. It's a statement of a fact that the Jewish people have the ability to, and look, at the moment you are cleaving to Hashem. But then in Chumash Devarim, we have 3 times where it's going to give us actually a command that we should cleave to Hashem. And the first of those 3 is this pasuk that I just read to you, that you shall fear Hashem, you shall serve Him, you shall cleave to Him, and you shall swear in His name. Rashi says nothing there, and there's a question, and I'll tell you why there's a question, because the next pasuk Rashi does define it. Why doesn't Rashi tell us what cleaving means here? So the reason is because there is an earlier, and this is actually not from such a nice source, but there is an earlier place in the Chumash that it uses the word davik. And it's not to do with us and Hashem, but it's a terrible story. It's the story with Dina and Shechem. Do you remember when Dina was kidnapped and she was abducted and then she was abused by Shechem? And it says over there that Shechem loved her, and the word that's used there is that he cleaved. He became so close to her, right? He davik, which is like glue, right? And he abused her and he loved her. So what do we learn, though, from that word? That when you use the word he davik, it means to love. Obviously, that was a negative type of a love, an abusive love, but it comes from the concept of love. So Rashi here doesn't have to translate it, because Rashi knows that we've already learned that pasuk. So obviously, what we're talking about here is, because the pasuk says, you shall fear Hashem, and when it uses the word he davik, it means also to love Hashem. So he doesn't have to tell us what it means. It's just a general concept that we know there is a mitzvah that every Jew has to love Hashem. But then come to the next pasuk. That's in the next chapter. In Perek Yud Aleph, on number 3, it says, Im shomer tishmerun. If observing, you will observe, es kol ha-mitzvah, all of the commandments azayis, asher anayichi mitzvah eschem, that I command you la-asayisa to do. li'ava es Hashem elikechem, to love Hashem your God, la'leches b'chol drachav, to go in all of his ways, u'ledavka bay, and to cleave to him. Now in this pasuk we have a little problem. Because if we say ledavka means to love, what's the problem? What does the pasuk say? Look what we just read. It says, yeah, it already says to love. So it's a repetition. So what does ledavka mean here? You see, very good. It's strange. It already says to love. So obviously we have to translate ledavka by something more. It's something more. What does it mean? So let's see what Rashi says here. So here Rashi does, oh, it's a bit cut off. Okay, but here Rashi does give us a bit of an explanation. He says, to go in all of his ways. So he says, who, oh, 1 minute. Ay, vey. Yeah, oh, sorry. Yes, yeah, so not on Ladovka. So when he talks about going in his ways, Rashi says, it means who rachum, he is merciful, and also you should be merciful. He shows kindness, and you should show kindness. That means learn from Hashem, right? And do what he does. That's how we go in his ways. But what does it mean in our context and to cleave to him? So he asks a question. Efshar leimar kein, is it possible to say this? Why? What's the problem? Doesn't it say, eish eichlahu? Is it not said of Hashem, he is a consuming fire? Which we know that if something is a consuming fire, you can't exactly come very close because you'll be burned. So what does ledavka by mean? So rather, he gives a very interesting interpretation. He dovek b'talmidim u'b'chachamim, cleave to students of Torah and to the sages and to the great tzaddikim. U'mayla ani alecha ki'ilu nidbakta bay, and I will consider it on your behalf as if you cleaved to him. So this pasuk seems to be saying something very different according to Rashi. And the Rambam actually develops it. And he says that there is a command, and this is a very interesting one. That's where we have the idea that a person should have somebody, a mentor, as we say, whether it be a Rav, whether it be a Tzaddik, somebody that they learn from, that they model, that they look up to, that they can see. They conduct themselves in this way, and therefore I will know how to behave. But it's not just that that person is training or teaching you. It's actually, it says, when you come close to a tzaddik, you're actually, it, as Rashi says, it is cleaving to Hashem, because that person is literally modeling, if you want to say, Hashem in this world, and this is our way of cleaving to Hashem. Now, obviously, we don't believe in serving people. We have a very strict thing about Avodah Zarah, so we're not talking about seeing them as a god, and that's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that there is a concept, and that's why we have even just general people, as we always know, in Yiddishkeit, there was a concept of having a Rav and having a mentor, as we say, even in Pirkei Avos, Aseh Lecha Rav, or a concept of a tzaddik, whichever way person led. And this way, when you came close to them, you knew they infused you with inspiration, they lifted you, and they gave you that special extra chayus that you could actually feel that godliness. And that was a way to come close to God. So that's in this pasuk. But now if you go to number 4, I'll show you something more, because that's not it. Then it comes in the next parsha. And again, what does it say there? It says, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Telechu. It's still on the same page, but it's number 4 on that page. It says, after Hashem, your God, you shall go. V'oisai tira'u, and him you shall fear. V'es mitzvaisav tishmeiru, and his commandments shall you keep. U'b'kailai tishma'u, and you shall listen to his voice, and you shall serve him, and then and to him you shall cleave. Now when this pasuk, it's coming after many things. This is a very high level. First of all, it tells us to go to do his mitzvahs, right? To fear him, to go in his ways, to do his mitzvahs, to listen to his voice. So what is this cleaving talking about? Let's see what Rashi says here. Very interesting. So first of all, he says, okay, so obviously the Torah was given through Moshe. And then he says to listen to the voice, and that means to listen to the voices of the prophets. But then he says, look what he says, Ubay Sidbakun. Here he doesn't say to come close to the great righteous people. Rather, here he says, what does it mean to cleave? He dovek bidrachav, cleave to his ways. And here, interestingly, he says, gemol chasadim, perform acts of kindness, kvar mesim specifically, bury the dead, biker chaylim, visit the sick, kemay sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as the Holy One, blessed is He, did. Very interesting. Specifically, so he's giving a general category of gemilas chasadim, and then he's breaking it up into two gemilas chasadims. One is the burying of the dead, and the other one is the visiting the sick. There's many other gemilas chasadim we have. Lots of tzedakah that we give, right? There's helping a bride. There's lots of things that fall into the category of gemilas chasadim. Loaning somebody money. There's many things. And here he's highlighting specifically two. Inviting guests, right? We have many. But here specifically, and also we learn it from Hashem. Where do we see that Hashem did these things? That means Hashem did it. So very interesting. Where did Hashem bury the dead? I don't know if you know which story that is. It says Aaron HaKohen. When Aaron passed away, do you remember Moshe Rabbeinu took him into the cave? And then Moshe came down and Aaron wasn't there and the people were devastated. And they didn't bury Aaron. It doesn't say anybody buried Aaron. Why? Because Hashem himself buried Aaron. That's what it says. Well, that's an interesting thing. I think, fascinatingly, that's true about Moshe. With Moshe, we don't. You know what's interesting, Rona, with Aaron? We're not 100% sure, but some people say they do know because it says it's a mountain on top of a mountain, and actually it's in Jordan now. And I've heard of people who have gone, and apparently it's a very difficult access because it's like this cave in a mountain on top of a mountain. And you have to go, I've seen pictures, you have to literally go with a camel. That's the way to access it. It's the only way. They're not 100% sure, but they... I know. Never. Yeah, first you have to get into Jordan. That's the first thing. I'd be willing to go there. People have gone. And then you have to take this camel, and you have to, and it's a steep thing, and you find...
We drove to Petra.
Ah, are you...
And the taxi driver pointed to the top of the mountain, and we went and said, that's
where Aaron is buried. Amazing. Difficult to access it. Yes, apparently so. It's an amazing thing. Fascinating. Moshe, we don't know. That's true. Actually, it says specifically, Hashem didn't want us to know because he was afraid. He's afraid that people would make an idol worship, you know, and that would, whatever it was. But anyways, we don't know where Moshe, but because the people, it says the people on the top thought he's on the bottom, people on the bottom, whatever it was. But with Aaron, it says Hashem buried him and not the people. And where does Hashem visit the sick? That's the famous story we just had. Just with Avraham. Exactly. Exactly right. That's where he visited the sick. Now, what is unique about these two things? A very interesting thing. Fascinating thing that we're saying. What are we learning here? Something very interesting about cleaving to Hashem. This is actually the highest level of cleaving to Hashem. What do I mean by the highest level? Because this, when we talk about cleaving, so under the word cleaving is a word that we don't even use so often. We talk about connecting, right? Connecting. So when you talk about a connection, so there's a way of making a connection. Let's say if you have two ropes, you tie them together, you make a knot, you make a connection. That's a connection. But the word devek in Hebrew is not a knot. A knot is a kesher. That's hiskashrus, to connect. A kesher is a knot. You take two strings and you connect them. What is devek? Devek, we know, is glue. Glue. What happens when you glue something? It's mamish, like it becomes one thing. That's what happens. It literally becomes one. So here we're talking about a much deeper and a higher level of connection with Hashem when we talk about the word dveikus. Now, dveikus is a word which is used commonly. You've never heard of dveikus? Interesting. It's a very chassidic word, right? We talk about dveikus. Some people use the word, they say, like they'll daven. They'll get into like a state of ecstasy and a state of dveikus. It's a kind of a level of... where you really like almost forget everything, nothing else exists, and it's only you and Hashem. You know where we might picture, let's say, Ne'ilah, you know, on Yom Kippur, and you're in a very, you know, in a very inspired, hopefully not thinking about, you know, the meal afterwards, like the South African minig, but you know, you're just in this very high after the whole Yom Kippur, and you're really in that state of feeling that real deep connection with Hashem. But Dveikus is not something that's only meant really for then. It's meant to be something that we aspire to. But just coming back to our example that Rashi's giving, he's not telling us we should go daven, right? What is he telling us? We should do these mitzvahs specifically, gemilas chasadim, like Hashem. What's unique about the way Hashem did those mitzvahs? Something very interesting. And specifically these two examples. if you think about it, with Aaron, you know that Aaron, we know, was so beloved by the people, right? It says that after he died, people, literally men, women, children, cried for 30 days and 30 nights. He was so beloved by everybody. Now, everybody would have clamored to be the first to be involved in helping bury Aaron, right? They would have all gone to his funeral, would have been the biggest that had ever been, right? There was no question about it. They loved him. And yet, what does Hashem do? Even though anybody else could have done it and everybody else would have wanted to do it, Hashem still didn't say, this is a chesed that I don't have to do. He did it. With Avram, everybody came. Avram was also beloved by the people. The whole world knew him. They all wanted to come visit him. But what happens? Hashem still makes it his business to come visit Avram. Why? Because that's what you do. So that's the first lesson. We're talking about doing chesed, not only when it's necessary, when nobody else is going to do it, but even if everybody else is going to do it. You don't say, I can sit back, everybody else will do it. You take the initiative and you do it. Why? Because it's a chesed, because it's an opportunity to cleave, to come close to Hashem. It's interesting. Obviously, the person needs the chesed, and that's why you're doing it. But you're doing it not because it makes you feel good, and not even so much because it makes the other person feel good. Obviously, the other person needs it, and you'll do as best as you could. But it's because that's how what we are here for. Because we become godly. We go out of ourselves. We're thinking about somebody else. It's not about us. It's about somebody else. So it doesn't matter if the whole world is going to go and run, but who knows what you can add. Don't sit back. You know, many times people do. They sit back and they say, oh, everybody else will. It doesn't work that way. And not only that, but something very beautiful. If you see the order that they say it, first he says, bury the dead, and then he says, visit the sick. Should really be the other way around. First of all, hopefully, I mean, we don't have to bury the dead after the sick, but I'm saying, but that's usual. And also, even in the stories, first came Avraham, then came Aaron. Why does he say it this way? Because if you think about it, burying the dead is actually, in a way, it's an easier mitzvah. What do I mean by easier? Even though you're going out of your way, and it's inconvenient, so to speak, it takes effort to get involved in arranging a funeral, but it doesn't pose any danger to you. When you visit the sick, we all know, there is an element, perhaps it's contagious, or you go to a hospital, you don't know what kind of illness you might get, right? So there is it's not only that you're going out of your way and inconveniencing yourself, but you're even maybe putting yourself in danger. So that's an even higher level of really putting yourself aside. So this is the dveikus that we're talking here, this modeling, and this is what Hashem does. Very interesting, if you look at the word ubay sidbikun, do you see the last letter is a nun? Right? Interesting. In that pasuk, when it talks about all the things we do, if you look at the pasuk, it says, it says, teilechu, right? So the teilechu, that's to go. Tira'u, to fear, number two. And then it says, mitzvahs of tishmeiru, that's number three. And that's also, so they all end with like, ooh, do you see? Ubekoyle, again, tishma'u, and then ta'avaydu, and then tidbekun. So there's six commands here. And they all end in u, except for sidbekun, which ends in a nun. They all end in a vav, and this one ends in a nun. What's the letter vav and the letter nun? Very interesting. So what's the letter vav first? Because all of them end in a vav. Even sidbekun has a vav almost at the end. But it ends with the final nun. But what's a vav? Think about the picture. What does vav look like? I don't know if you know what a vav means in Hebrew. Actually, you spell vav, vav, vav. That's how you spell it. In the Mishkan, they had vavim, they had that. They were hooks. A vav is a hook. A vav is a connector. If you think about the way it looks, it's a line from up to down. It connects from higher to lower, like a ladder, like we have in this week's parasha. It's the ladder. It's how we climb up to God and how God climbs down to us. That's what vav is. Vav is the connector. And that's why it's vav achibur. In grammar, that's what it does. When you say vi, you say and. It's the connecting letter. So it means connection. The vav itself means connection. If you think about a nun, so nun doesn't necessarily mean connection, but it's the same picture as a vav, but the only difference is, what does a nun do? It goes below the line, right? If you think about the picture of exactly, it goes lower. So the vav stops by the line, and the nun goes below the line. So what does that mean in this concept? When we're talking about connecting to Hashem, as we said, how do we connect? Well, we have to do the chesed like he does, right? But there's sometimes when a person can feel lots of things. So there's a way of connecting to Hashem with good feelings. Do you want to say great feelings or deep feelings? Feelings of oneness with Hashem. That can come through davening, which it does. Davening strongly, kavana, focusing, doing a mitzvah with kavana. The only thing is that all those things are all in the emotional and intellectual sphere. When we're talking about our pasuk, about cleaving to Hashem, we're talking about not just feeling the connection, not just understanding the connection, but doing the connection, going below the line into the realm of action, which is the lowest, really in a sense, it's the most external of all of our faculties, but it's the most important. That's where we really go out of ourself. That's why we know, we've often said this, that as a Jew, it's all beautiful. You know, the people go to the ashrams in India and they devote their lives, and I'm not judging them, and maybe for somebody who's not Jewish, it's very nice. But as a Jew, this is not our way. Our way is totally to be in this world. Sorry.
I just want to just clarify something. The spirit of Aaron doesn't make sense to me. So he died, and did the body disappear?
No, so it's interesting. It doesn't say it disappeared. Remember, he was on this bed in this cave. But it seems to be that Hashem buried him there in the cave. Yeah, so it's interesting how you say it disappeared. So yeah, the body did disappear. So that's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that Hashem buried him there. And when Moshe went down from the mountain, the people didn't believe Moshe because they couldn't believe it. They loved Aaron. And Hashem actually had to show them a vision of Aaron's burial, like that he's buried.
And wasn't there a danger that they would worship Aaron because they loved him so much?
So yeah, I know that's a very interesting question, but obviously not, obviously because it didn't happen. But I know why it says that about Moshe is an interesting one. It's an interesting one. I'm not sure if it meant the Jews or other people, because Moshe is even more than Aaron. One thing it says about Moshe is that Moshe was half man, half angel. He had that divinity in him, because remember, he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. So maybe that was more of a danger, that people would think he's even closer to God in a certain way. So, yeah. Because Aaron, actually, people related to as a person. You know, that's what they loved him. Like, he was like their, like everybody's, you know, best uncle, if you want to say. You know what I mean? Like that beloved figure that they all loved so much, and he was so approachable. So he was very human in that way to them, even though he was also obviously greatly godly, but to them. But yes, it's interesting, Sylvia. It is interesting. It's fascinating how it works. So coming back to here, we see that this is what it shows us. To a Jew, what is, it's actually incredible. It's doing the most, sometimes the most difficult mitzvahs, but mitzvahs that are between man and man. Mitzvahs that we have to go out of ourselves, that are not comfortable, that we might not enjoy, that don't give us the greatest pleasure, as we know. But we do them, and we do them for another person. Thereby, we connect to others, and we connect to Hashem. And that's why it says, V'atem ha-dveikim b'Hashem aleikeichem. It says it in the plural. The Nesivas Shalom says, very importantly, the only way a Jew connects to God is if we connect together. We don't go off somewhere on our own, in our own little journey, you know, so to speak, in, you know, divorcing everybody around us. That's a Jew can't do that. We don't have that choice. That's not the way we're meant. We are meant, as we say, Barchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad. When we are united, when we're there for each other. I know this is the hardest thing, and we know, but it doesn't matter. We don't have to think in a global sense. Think about it in a personal sense. It's just about us connecting to each other, doing these mitzvahs, Bikur Chaylim, whatever it may be, all the mitzvahs of Chesed, of Gemilas Chasadim, and especially these mitzvahs, but all the mitzvahs of Gemilas Chasadim, and connecting to each other and doing them together, that is the way we really become not just connected, but one with Hashem. That's what we're saying. Dovek, like glued. Literally one with Hashem. Now the Nesiv HaShalom has a very fascinating thing, and he develops and has a beautiful idea. And he says also, one of the ways that, because it's all very, it's practical, but then again, also this concept of cleaving to Hashem, what does it really mean? So he says, the idea, how we process it in our mind is, a person has to realize, and I know we say this always, but I think it's a constant reminder. That's why we say Maidani every day. A person has to realize how dependent they are on Hashem. That's the most important thing. which means that we have to realize that the only way we're alive is because Hashem is infusing us with life at this moment. When we realize that we are so dependent on Hashem, which means our whole life is in Hashem's hands, this is the way we're constantly connected to Hashem. And this is the way a person, every moment of their life, every decision they make, every move, every reaction they have, will be infused with life and with godliness. So this is what's supposed to be in the forefront of our mind constantly. Another thing he says, which is very interesting, I forgot how he brings it in with the six. I'm trying to see something. Let me see in that. So I have it here in front of you. I just want to see. And I feel we're not going to read the whole thing inside, but I wanted to show you. How did he say? Because it was one beautiful idea about Shabbos. Let me just see. Okay. I'm just going to see. Oh, yeah, so he says emuna. First of all, like we say, emuna, that's the dveikus, that by having that faith and that emuna and knowing that everything, and betachen, and knowing that you rely on Hashem and that Hashem is there for you and doing everything, that Hashem conducts the whole world. So that's one way that we are dveik. And then he says also that we, that the concept is that Shabbos is also a time of dveikus. Why? Because he says, let me just see how he says it over here. Shabbos is compared to all the mitzvahs, and the idea of Shabbos is that, let me just see. Yes, Shabbos is a time that we remember that Hashem created the world and creates the world, and that all our brachas come through Hashem. And that's actually why, beautifully, Shabbos is a time that we do feel closer to Hashem, even feel it. It's not just that we know it in our mind, but we actually feel it. We live in a much, so to speak, more revealed way closer to Hashem, and that's why Shabbos is also has to do with it. I just want to see. So Shabbos is dveikus, but I wanted to see one more beautiful thing that he mentioned over here. Let's see. Okay. Oh, that's also another beautiful thing. He also says, so in life, generally, we have to be constantly aware that obviously we're dependent on Hashem. But he says even more than that, every time we do a mitzvah, we should also be aware, as we mentioned at the beginning that the Aruch Hayim said, we not only should we know about it, but we should try to remember it while we're doing the mitzvah, that when we are doing the mitzvah, we are connecting to Hashem, that we are actually having the presence of Hashem with us. So it's something that we should try and concentrate while we are doing the mitzvah, and that's the dimension of dveikus. So what happens then is not only, as we said in this pasuk, that we do a mitzvah, but more than doing a mitzvah, we are dveik b'Hashem. So it's an additional dimension to the mitzvah. It's the mitzvah that's getting done, and it's the connection, the bond, the cleaving, the closeness to Hashem that we are creating and that we are feeling, and that it's not just creating, but that we're strengthening. That's it. It's good. It's good. No, that's a beautiful mitzvah. Those are the easier mitzvahs. But okay, I just wanted to see one more. There was one more beautiful. Oh, and then he said also one last thing. Because if we saw the flow of the pasuk, remember it came right after the previous pasuk was how we served idols, right? That Hashem destroyed you, but you didn't, and you're alive. So the Nesiv HaShalom says something very interesting. He says sometimes a person will not find themselves in the best state. Okay, let's say, talk practically for us. We wake up in the morning and we're not looking forward to the day. Whatever it may be, there's certain challenges, whether it be that we don't feel so well, whether it be our mood is not so good, whether it be something that we have to face that day, whatever it may be. And a person is quite low. And it happens often. So then a person at that point does feel disconnected. That's the fact. You just don't feel Hashem's presence. When we feel Hashem's presence, we're infused with purpose, meaning we feel joy, right? As we know, when we don't, that's when we don't feel Hashem's presence. So he says that shouldn't discourage us. Look how the pasuk says, even those of you who served Baal Pa'ar, but if you choose life, you can still cleave to Hashem. It's your choice. You who choose to live, which means even when you find yourself in a difficult state, you have the choice to connect to Hashem. It's harder, no question, but you have that choice. And that's why he says, and there's a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim that actually David HaMelech says, "In esak shamayim, if I reach the heavens, there you are. But if I'm in the deep pits, you're also there. That's what David HaMelech says. Hashem is everywhere. He's there with us whether we feel good or whether we don't feel good. Whether we're in the good mood or not in the good mood. Whether it's a good day or not such a good day. When we don't feel well, whatever it may be, he's there with us. And that's what he tells us also over here, that we have to remember that we can always cleave to Hashem. Chaim kulchem hayoim, and that's every day. Hayoim. That's also why he's concentrating. Today. Because it's not just yesterday, and it's not just tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll feel better. Or tomorrow will be a better day. No. Hayoim. Today. Today, in whatever situation you actually find yourself. Whatever it is, Dveikim b'Hashem. You cleave and you can. And you can be one and you can connect to Hashem. So these are all the beautiful ideas, as we can see, just from this one pasuk. But again, I think just the most, to me, the most fascinating idea is how I just find it so, it's so reachable. It's so doable. Because if we just do, sometimes like we're really not in the mood. But to do something for somebody else, we can always do. You can. Even if you don't want to, you can do it. Don't always feel it, but you can always do it. And we know, I mean, we all know, not always does it work immediately, but it definitely works. The more we do for others, and the more we go out of ourselves, and the more we do when we're not in the mood, it lifts us tremendously. There's nothing like it. And one of the main reasons is because we are bringing Hashem's presence, and it's giving us life. So it's actually the best therapy and the best exercise and the best medication and the best whatever you want to say is just hidavik, so cleave, as we say, model ourselves after the great tzaddikim, model ourselves after the great people who learn Torah, and of course do the gemilas chasadim in the most selfless way that we could, and that's the way we are really glued to Hashem.
Sure.